Back to your callers and SMSs shortly, 92211 82 for yesloans.com.au. Well, a big celebration game, a milestone game for one of the champs down at Fremantle this week, Borry. 200 games, you'll be calling that one. Fremantle hosting the Tigers, and the man of the moment has been good enough to join us. G'day, Michael Johnson.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations. Well, 200, eh?
Who would have thought?
Well, Jono, there's times where I've questioned where it might have happened, mate, but well done. Congratulations, and you must be really proud.
Yeah, it is a proud moment. So, I was a Dockers supporter before I got drafted, and to play one game, let alone 200, is a special thing. And you look at the other guys that have played 200 games for the club and sort of pinch yourself, especially being that Dockers supporter, and your name will be amongst the, you know, the greats of the club. So, so it'll be a special moment, and it'll be even special for my family watching me run out on the week this Friday night.
Michael, no doubt when this happens, there's always analysis. What was better in your mind, your first 100 games or your second 100 games, and why?
I don't really remember the first 100. Being young and immature, but I think the second 100, I've had a few ups and downs amongst those games, and that I've played more consistent footy as I got older. So especially the last 3 to 4 years, I'm a consistent performer for the club, and I think the second 100 is more of a standout for myself.
Yeah, well, you got Best Clubman, made a Fremantle Dockers Life member, won an All-Australian Award in 2013 in your second 100, so I reckon you're right. And a couple of your milestones, mate, having a think back over time. You played your 50th against West Coast, and I reckon you played your 150th against West Coast too, mate, and I reckon you're on the right side of the ledger those days.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have two derbies to two of the milestones, but my 100th wasn't the best one. We played Hawthorn down in Launceston, and that's when we rested a lot of our players. So I had to front up and with a lot of youngsters and end up getting flogged by Hawthorn.
It must give you a great surety knowing that Luke McFarlane's playing behind you most of the time, or Zach Dawson, who's been out injured this year, or Alex Silvani's had a bit of a share. But I suppose the other one in the blend this year has been Garrick Ibbotson. So it must give you great confidence when you go out on the field that you've got really, really good backup in that tall area.
Yeah, for sure. Garrick has had to step up and play that third tour role, and he stood up last year in the later in the year when I was injured, my back injury, and it's unfortunate that we can't get Alex or Zach out there, but Garrick's been fantastic for us, and it just gives us more run to have Garrick playing on, you know, the third tour, and because he can play tall and he can run like a midfielder, so it's just a bonus for our team.
And I think the other bonus too is, Jono, is that you've always been really efficient in the air. We know what Luke's like, and I think Ibbo certainly adds another string to that bow too. From an aerial perspective in that area, it's nice to have the three of you that can work so well in that area.
Yeah, it's been really good. Garrick, I think last year he was out of the team a couple of times there, but he's worked on stuff that he needed to improve on, and that's one of those things. He's learning to read the ball a lot better now, he's really quick for his size as well. So, he's very talented in any sport as well. So he's got a good background in soccer and other sports. So he's becoming a really good, important and important player for our team.
Michael, your distribution's been first class, particularly the last couple of seasons or so, and look, you feign a kick, you step inside a bloke and you spot someone up. Is that something you worked on, or did that come naturally when you were a kid?
I think playing in the backyard with my older brothers, younger brothers and that, we've always looked up to other Indigenous players in the AFL, and always wanted to be like a Nicky Winmar or a Michael Long. And it was just one thing that we always did in the backyard, and I guess I'm sort of lucky that I hold the ball a little bit longer than most, and a lot of players think I'm gonna kick the ball, so yeah, holding the ball a little bit longer sort of helps me. So sometimes it comes off, sometimes it doesn't, and Ross doesn't sometimes doesn't like it as well. So, yeah, he only comes down to special times.
He said, Ross Lyon, this is last night, that he doesn't speak to you. He said he doesn't have to. You rock up, you do your job, you're one of the hardest trainers, and he doesn't have to talk to you.
That's a good thing. I'll pay him tomorrow, mate. So,
That's how he is, eh?
If you're doing the right thing, he likes to stay away from you and let you do your business. And but he's got his door open all the time. And if you need have any issues or if you need to talk to him, you're more than welcome just to walk in. But I only see him training days and when it's the meeting time. So. I'm really close to my DOC, and that is Michael Pryor, and he's our defensive coach. So I communicate with him more than I communicate with Ross. But, yeah, I prefer to stay away from Ross than having him on my back all the time. So, yeah, I'll just keep doing the right thing for Ross and for the team.
There must be great belief amongst the older group of players and the leaders of the team, I suppose, because... only a couple of times I feel as though you've been seriously challenged this year. Once with the Bulldogs, where they got level with you and you found a way, 13 points. And then last weekend, if Adelaide had a kick straight, you could have been in a bit more trouble than you were at half time. But quite clearly, did Ross have to say anything in those two instances, or did you just the leaders just take it upon themselves to make sure you willed yourself across the line?
I think, especially this year, we've found a way to win, especially when our backs are against the wall, and we have finished a couple of games, especially being behind and working our way back up. And it's all about the hard work that we've done over the preseason and the way we play with our structure. So we believe in all that stuff, and we know that we can break any team. But if we keep going along the way that we have been playing, I reckon we can beat any team on any day. So, Ross did bring up a couple of points here and there, but a couple of KPIs which we fixed. But yeah, it's just fantastic to have like leaders like Matthew Pavlich and Nat Fyfe and Dave Mundy just stand up when the game's on the line. So it's and you see all the younger guys in our team feed off that. So it just makes our job a lot easier.
Pretty elite club, the 200 club down there at Fremantle. Pav, Shane Parker, Luke McFarlane, Sean McManus, Aaron Sandlands, David Mundy, Paul Hazelby, Anthony Grover, and now yourself.
There's a bit of talent there.
Most of them are retired. Watch out.
Well, Jono, thinking back, mate, to that pre-season draft in 2003, do you still remember it?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yes.
Where were you?
I was at home. I had the heads up that Freo were really keen on getting me, so just had to wait for the call from Bill Smart to let me know. And as soon as that call was announced, they asked me to come down to training straight away and meet the players and join in with yoga. I remember joining into the yoga class, first time I've ever done yoga. It's a long time ago, but still remember like yesterday.
And mate, it didn't start easy for you either. It wasn't until 2005 that you got your first game where you broke into the side, and you only played 11 that season. The good part was when you did break into the side, mate, that you're playing more winning games than losing games for a majority anyway, early days.
Yeah, for sure. My first year, I was just still developing as a Waffle player and senior player down at Waffle. The second year, I was lucky enough to come in into the team in round four, I think it was. But that year was a learning and learning travel and all that stuff. So I was emergency of a fair few games that year. But I think for the help of other senior players and developing my game over those couple of years, it helped me. And I think 2006 was a really good year for us when I played my majority of the year.
And Chris Connolly was good for you? Because obviously he was your coach at that time.
Yeah, he was, yeah. He was really good with the younger players. And a lot different now. It's a bit more structured these days. But back then, we had a really good group with my draft. So I think there was a good 10 of us that got picked up that year. So we were really close knit group. And but yeah, Chris was really, really, really good with all the younger players back then. Dave Mundy, Ryan Murphy, Riley Dunn and that. So yeah, big thanks to Chris for giving me the opportunity.
Michael, don't want to put the cart before the horse, but no doubt you've got short-term goals, which is this Friday, of course. Carl will be calling that game down there against the Tigers. You've got your interim goals, which would be to make the finals, finish as high as you possibly can. Clearly, can you remember grand final day a couple of seasons ago, and would you love to go there again, and naturally, and what would you do different this time in the lead-up to that particular game?
Yeah, no doubt. It's why we play AFL footy, and you want that team success, and playing that ultimate match. I think it's early October this year. So, I remember it, and you know the whole week. I had a leading into that game. I was injured, so I spent more time in the physio room trying to get myself up and going before the grand final. But yeah, dragged myself out. I was never going to give up my seat for that game, and so yeah, I was really, really stoked to get out there and play. But what would I do differently this time? I guess if we did ever make it, it's learning from the first one, and that's taking the week and because it is a big week, the travel over there and the parade and all that stuff. But having that experience helped a lot of our players, but it'll be great to get back there again.
Turn your mobile phone off?
Yes, another.
Well, turn the mobile phone off. Well, things have changed off the field too, Jono, haven't they, since that pre-season draft of 2003, mate? The breeding program's been all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the family, will they all be there on Friday night?
Yes, I'll be running out with my three children. So they're getting prepped as we speak. So they'll run out. They'll be their third one, third banner to run through. And they're excited, so they can't wait. And I'm sure I'll have a fair few family and friends in the crowd as well. So I'm trying to sort out tickets at the moment.
How are you prepping them? You're just hanging a few streamers off the doors and
yeah.
Run through here.
I just find the banner from the local junior footy club.
The old door frame with the old crepe paper, mate. It's a beauty. Well done, Michael. Thanks for your time. Congratulations and good luck on Friday and good luck for the remainder of the season. I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk to you.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Michael Johnson, 200 very solid games. Borry, one of the best for the Fremantle Dockers, and sure to be a key on Friday night.
Yeah, without doubt, and looking to go that one step further at 30 years of age, mate. It is time for that to happen, and I know a lot of the Fremantle faithful over here are hoping that it does in this particular season.
Righto, back to the great debate. 9221 882 if you'd like to have your say between now and 8 o'clock. Tickets to the game on Friday up for grabs for yeslones.com.au.